That was indeed a 95 BFM with update. We've got something very exciting happening right now. About 2 weeks ago, Duran Jones played here. And Rosetta actually went to that gig. How was the gig, Rosetta?
It was really, really awesome. I did a lot of swaying and it was like really romantic and so beautiful. Romantic. Yeah, it was lovely.
They give them their all out there. Well, I was lucky enough to interview them at the power station in person. Cool. And this is their interview now. But before that, we're going to play possibly their most popular song.
Is it any wonder?
Exactly. If you're with your lover right now, this is it. Don't get weird about it. Anyway, this is Any Wonder, Duran Jones. You're on BFM. It's Nick out here outside the hallowed power station. We're here with Duran Jones and The Indications. Can you give yourself a little introduction?
Hey, I'm Duran. I'm from Louisiana.
What's up? My name is Aaron. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland.
I thought you were going to say favorite animal too. Like,
oh, I'm Blake from Holland, Michigan. My favorite animal is a frog.
That's what's up, Blake. We love that.
Axolotl.
Favorite land animal is cheetah. flying animal, vulture. Whale. Vulture because they're very special creatures, you know, like they're like one of the very few animals that can eat something dead and not get disease from it. They literally cleanse the world naturally.
Man, you really thought about that.
Yes,
I appreciate that. You're really deep into
so
that. Yeah.
I love them so much. They're so majestic to me.
Man, it's so special to have you guys here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I think it'd be remiss to start this conversation off without kind of paying homage to two greats. Angie Stone, Roberta Flack passed away recently. And I just want to get your guys' thoughts on them and how they might have impacted your music.
Norma Rain in This House was a tune that would always come on the radio, and my dad would pump that up all the time. And also, I guess just being a part of the millennial generation, it was my introduction into Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Mm,
you know, like
true.
That sample of Neither One of Us, you know, and Neither One of Us has over the years become one of my favorite soul tunes of all time. Angie really started a love for soul music for me. She did. And it's really sad to see her go. And I really hope that her son is being held and being kept.
I think like Roberta Flack's Feel Like Making Love is a like touchstone for me. When I look at like the Indications and the style that's emerged for us, it's something that is, it's sweet and sometimes it can be like, you know, sophisticated, like a little elevated, but still knocks, like still grooves hard. And I think that's at the core of what we do, and that's like at the core of what Roberta did.
That's such a good point, because when I listen to your guys' music, it puts me in a place and a feeling, just like feel like making love. Like, I am strolling through a park. Yeah. You know what I mean? with my lover. And that's how I feel about your guys' music, too.
Thank you.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, Killing Them Softly, like, hearing that sample and, like, you know, was... And then just being as excited to hear the original song as you did, you know, in the sample context was an introduction, like an entry point to soul music for me as like a teenager. And so, that's a really good one.
It's really special. I do want to talk about the tour, Blake. It's a Pacific tour you guys are doing. How's it been so far? How are you feeling, mind, body, and spirit?
Oh, feeling fantastic. We've had a little time to settle into the jet lag now, and but we're visiting a bunch of places for the first time as a band and for the first time as individuals. This is our first time in any of us have been to New Zealand, and it's been beautiful. The people have been so nice and we're all having a really good time.
Yeah, beautiful. Aaron, you might be able to give us some insight on this, but I did want to talk about that mind, body, and spirit. Soul music, it comes from a place that you can't physically know. But to get up every night on stage and to put your all into it like you guys do, how do you take care of yourself when you're doing that and being so vulnerable every single night?
Great question. I mean, I think it takes a certain amount of discipline between the shows, especially if your, you know, role in the band is more on the physical end of things. You know, I can't go out necessarily after shows. Somebody last night while I was up front singing was holding up a cell phone sign that was inviting us to a wine bar in Wellington. And it's like, I would love to, but, you know, I know that what we do for people, especially now, at a time when tensions are high, anxieties are high, political unrest, you know, I do believe we help provide catharsis for people and a salve for people during troubling times. And so, you know, we owe it to the fans every night who pay money, hard-earned money, to come to these shows to see the best of us and to get that experience. So, you know, it's a responsibility we take seriously. I want to hear Duran's answer to this, because I feel like you're giving it every night.
Man, I really appreciate you mentioning mind, body, and spirit, because to me, I tell my friends all the time who want to do what we do, like, if you want to get on the road and tour, you have to make sure the mind and the body and the spirit are in balance, because if they're not, you're definitely liable to have some sort of mental breakdown.
Yeah,
for sure, dude. And I learned that the hard way. The first couple of years of touring was very, very rough for me. But now I feel like I'm in a place where, you know, it's really important for me to have the fortitude in the mind, to have the body physically healthy, and to have the spirit, you know, fulfilled so that it can give the will. I think there's a reason why the architects of this music called it soul. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I really do feel like it reaches that part inside that we can't explain.
Yeah.
You know?
You're so right. And I guess, talking about soul as it is, the music you guys make has this beautiful, like, anachronistic quality to it. It feels from a different time, but it doesn't feel derivative. What's the secret ingredient to making music like that and allowing it to be current still?
I think the goal for us is to make timeless music. I think about my favorite artists, like someone like Stevie Wonder, and that's exactly how I think of his music. I just find it timeless. I think it could live in any decade, and people would absolutely love it and vibe with it. And I think the proof is in the pudding with us. Like, the goal was to make timeless music, and when we play live, we see elderly folks, we see younger folks, and everything in between. And I think that's all that we can ask for.
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned Stevie there, and I actually want to ask you too about this. One of my favorite things about the band is you've got a playlist. Indications, inspiration. Is that a Shuggy Otis reference?
I mean, I think it rhymed, and so
yeah,
we like that.
Yeah, we're running with it.
but for sure, I mean, we love Shuggy, and honestly, I think that tune and a couple of his others, like Out of My Head, you know, were early additions to the Indications, Inspirations.
Oh,
I mean, it started as a Dropbox just between the three of us.
Damn.
Just sharing MP3s back and forth while we were working on the first record, and eventually enough people, you know, asked us what we were listening to or what our inspirations were, that you know, we decided to make it public. Like, we don't mind giving away the sauce. I used to work for a bakery, and the they they put out a cookbook, and I thought that was so badass that they were like, "We'll show you exactly how we made it, because it's not gonna taste like ours."
Yeah, because we're that good.
They know who they are. They figured out how to make it taste like their own thing, even with the same ingredients that we all have in our pantry.
That's true security in art, really. And I was looking at some of the inspirations on it. You got Heat Wave, you got a little bit of Earl Green, Gladys Knight and the Pips. When I saw that Heat Wave reference, I was like, I see that. Because it feels like that might have been a touch point for the new album or the latest album. Like, you guys really leaned into the disco aspect as away from the soul. Was that a conscious choice that you guys wanted to lean into more dancey records?
We kind of got into like disco type production on Private Space.
Yeah.
And you know, we came to that through doing like DJ nights and stuff like that and collecting 45s and just seeing how that lights up the dance floor. And I think at that point it just became like a new challenge for us. You know, in some ways learned how to reverse engineer the kind of 60s into early 70s thing. And we're like, well, let's just try our hand at this. And it's just expanding the tool bag and, yeah, finding another kind of era of soul music to touch on.
I love it, keeping it current. And I was actually referring to Private Space in that because, I mean, Wichu, put that on in the kitchen when you're cooking dinner, it's game over. Yeah. Like, we're taking a minute with that. I did want to ask you a question, Duran. I know you're a big fan of James Baldwin, and I was watching one of your interviews, and you were talking about the songwriting process, and you're talking about a special time was your birthday, and you knew that you had to create something, and something came over you. It sounds exactly like Gotella on the Mountain, and how they get affected by this deeper spirit. Can you still tap into that? Like, does that just come over you, or are you
in the right setting?
Yeah,
definitely. And I've come to find that my creativity in art truly happens when I absolutely feel safe.
Yeah,
when I'm in a place where I feel completely safe is where somehow the mind just opens up. And, you know, it's almost like a radio frequency or something just comes in, you know, and if you don't grab it, it'll be gone. It's like a dream that you remember, but you can't remember. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yes.
You can get close to it, but you'll never quite get it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
100%. I guess I got two more questions left, so I'll direct this one at you, Aaron. Track one, self-titled album, Make a Change, was a mission statement. Or at least I feel like it was a mission statement. Do you think that mission has changed in any way, or you still, is that the focus to make music that has a positive impact?
It's a good question. I think the mission is the same. I think as we grow, we figure out new approaches to achieving that goal.
Yeah.
And it changes, you know, based on the room we're in or the conversations we're having, who we're talking to, you know. Certain conversations require, you know, strength and force and fire, you know, and certain ones require compassion and sweetness and a deft hand. So I think you can hear that in our music as well as, like, you know, our opinions on you know, current events.
I think for this last question, I want to go around the room or the smokers area as we are in. What can fans of yours coming to the show tonight expect from you guys?
You were playing with the five-piece band, which is kind of like the smaller version of the band, you know, like sometimes we have horns and stuff, but the five-piece version of the band, I think, is the tightest version. It's like we all, like, we kind of like communicate telepathically, and we're like very linked in, and it's also the most like raucous version. I think we kind of feel a level to like fill out the energy that we'd be missing with additional band members, so it ends up being, I think, some of my most fun shows, and we have a really good time.
That's really special.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, we came up through the basements of Indiana, like these house shows of 200 people in a basement that should really only be zoned for like 50, and somebody's falling over your drum set, and the cops were probably called, and, you know, it's like that's our pedigree. And so it's really fun to go back to this stripped back setup and remember who we are and bring that basement energy to the stage.
That's awesome.
Basement energy for sure. I'll never forget watching these two, because they was like in this band, Charlie Patton's War. when I met them, a rock and roll band, and it wouldn't be that surprising to see some blood on Aaron's snare drum.
Damn,
he was hitting that thing like for real. Like,
it still happens every once in a while.
Yeah. You surprise people, because I remember watching one of your interviews and there was a YouTube comment. I was like, I've never heard Aaron talk in his actual voice, because they just heard you sing before.
I talk like this.
But yeah, I want the folks that are coming to the show, I'm expecting them to party. I'm expecting them to, you know, sway with their loved ones. And I'm hoping to share a bit of a social message with them as well, because social consciousness is such a huge part of soul music. And like Nina Simone said, you know, how can you be an artist and not reflect the times? And we're going through it right now in America.
So. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you all. Yeah. That was Duran Jones and
Thank
the Indications.
You, baby.
Thank you, baby. Isn't that cute? He like came out singing too. He's such a such a genius. We're gonna listen to one of their new songs now, because they got an album on the way. Flowers is the name of the album. They'll be releasing on 27th of June off of Dead Oceans, which is very cool. And this new track, which is their lead single, is called Been So Long. I had a listen to it and I think it's super groovy. So yeah, let's give it a play. This has Been So Long. You're on 95 BFM.